Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman Mem Ram Goldar, and here Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, the 8th Perek Kol HaBasar. The Zikhu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses the laws of Molicha, salting meat to remove the blood. Shmuel says, Ein Abasi Yosimi De Damo El Imken Mocho Yafa Yafa. Meat is not cleared of its blood unless one salts it very thoroughly. Medichu yafi yafa, and then rinses it very thoroughly. A brisa teaches medich umaleach umedich. One first rinses the meat, then salts it, and then rinses it again. Rav Dimi of Naradah would salt his meat with thick salt and later shake it off. Thin salt would not require shaking and can simply be rinsed off. Shmuel adds that salted meat must be placed in a kli menukav, a perforated vessel, so the blood will drain away and not be reabsorbed in the meat. Rav Sheshes would only salt one piece of meat at a time in a perforated kli. However, the Gemara objects, if we're concerned that blood emitted from one piece will be absorbed into another, we should likewise be concerned about a single piece of blood emitted from one end will be absorbed into the other end. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that there is no difference and this practice isn't necessary. Point number two, the Mishnah states that meat from a kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal is asa levasha v'asa b'hana, forbidden to cook together and forbidden for benefit after they're cooked together. But meat of a kosher animal with milk of a non-kosher animal, or meat of a non-kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal, may be cooked together and are permitted for benefit. Tanaim then discussed that the prohibition applies to chayos and birds. The source that bas mechav applies to all kosher animals, and not only to gedi, a kid, is that two psukim use the term gedi ha'izim, kid of goats, and gidei ha'izim, kids of goats, implying kol makom shenemar gedi stam, wherever the term gedi is used unspecified, it includes cows and ewes as well. Even according to the opinion that shnei ksuvim hem boin ke'elchem melamdin, two psukim that come together to teach one halacha can teach their common halacha elsewhere, we do not derive from these psukim to restrict gedi to goats because the Torah writes twice ha'izim, the goats, instead of izim. Shmuel darshans the superfluous word gedi to exclude a non-kosher animal from bas b'chalav. And point number three, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi discussed hamavashal chalav b'chalav, one who cooks chalav with milk. One says it incurs malchus and the other says it does not. This is explained in four ways. The first, they argue of iser chal al iser, meaning whether the prohibition against eating bas b'chalav takes effect on already prohibited chalav. The second, all agree he's not chayv for eating it because the achilah prohibition cannot take effect on chalav. They argue about the liability for cooking because it is permitted to cook chalav alone. The lenient opinion holds that since the Torah expressed the achilah prohibition using the word bishul, we say that since one is not chayv for cooking chalav with milk, he's also not chayv for eating it. The third, all agree he is chayv for cooking it since it wasn't previously prohibited. And they argue if one is chayv for eating it, which was already prohibited. The stringent opinion holds that since the Torah expressed the achil prohibition using the word bishul, we say that since one is chayv for cooking chalav with milk, he is also chayv for eating it. And the fourth, there's no machlokas at all, and they refer to different cases. One is chayv for cooking it, but pater for eating it. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara discusses the laws of Molicha, salting meat to remove the blood. Shmuel says, Ein abasi yosimi de damo el imken mocho yafa yafa. Meat is not cleared of its blood unless one salts it very thoroughly. Medichu yafa yafa, and then rinses it very thoroughly. A brisa teaches medich umaleach umedich. One first rinses the meat, then salts it, and then rinses it again. Rav Dimi of Naradah would salt his meat with thick salt and later shake it off. Thin salt would not require shaking and can simply be rinsed off. Shmuel adds that salted meat must be placed in a kli menukav, a perforated vessel, so the blood will drain away and not be reabsorbed in the meat. Rav Sheshes would only salt one piece of meat at a time in a perforated kli. However, the Gemara objects, if we're concerned that blood emitted from one piece will be absorbed into another, we should likewise be concerned about a single piece of blood emitted from one end will be absorbed into the other end. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that there is no difference and this practice isn't necessary. Point number two, the Mishnah states that meat from a kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal is asa levasha v'asa b'hana, forbidden to cook together and forbidden for benefit after they're cooked together. But meat of a kosher animal with milk of a non-kosher animal, or meat of a non-kosher animal with milk of a kosher animal, may be cooked together and are permitted for benefit. Tanaim then discussed that the prohibition applies to chayos and birds. The source that bas mechav applies to all kosher animals, and not only to gedi, a kid, is that two psukim use the term gedi ha'izim, kid of goats, and gidei ha'izim, kids of goats, implying kol makom shenemar gedi stam, wherever the term gedi is used unspecified, it includes cows and ewes as well. even according to the opinion that Shnei Ksuvim Hem Bo'in Ke'elchem L'Lamdin, two psukim that come together to teach one halacha can teach their common halacha elsewhere, we do not derive from these psukim to restrict Gedi to goats because the Torah writes twice, Ha'izim, the goats, instead of Izim. Shmuel darshans the superfluous word Gedi to exclude a non-kosher animal from Basr B'chalav. And point number three, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi discussed Hamavashal Chalav B'chalav, one who cooks Chalav with milk. One says it incurs malchus, and the other says it does not. This is explained in four ways. The first, they argue of iser chal al iser, meaning whether the prohibition against eating basa b'chalav takes effect on already prohibited chalav. The second, all agree he's not chai for eating it because the achil prohibition cannot take effect on chalav. They argue about the liability for cooking because it is permitted to cook chalav alone. The lenient opinion holds that since the Torah expressed the achil prohibition using the word bishul, we say that since one is not chai for cooking chalav with milk, he's also not chai for eating it. The third, all agree he is chai for cooking it, since it wasn't previously prohibited. And they argue if one is chai for eating it, which was already prohibited. The stringent opinion holds that since the Torah expressed the achil prohibition using the word bishul, we say that since one is chai for cooking chalav with milk, he is also chai for eating it. And the fourth, there's no machlokas at all, and they refer to different cases. One is chai for cooking it, but pater for eating it. All right, so now we go to our siman daf kuf yud gimel, and our standard siman is a geek. A geek, that's kuf yud gimel, backwards. So here goes. The kashrus geek who is meticulously salting meat and rinsing it well, while explaining the difference between gedi and gedi ha'izim, to include all kosher animals in the prohibition of bas b'chalav, was startled when his friend received malchus for experimenting with chalav by cooking it in chalav. Once again, slow motion. The kashrus geek, that must be on daf kuf yud gimel. The kashrus geek who was meticulously salting meat and rinsing it well, which reminds us, the Gemara discussed the laws of Malicha, salting meat to remove the blood. Shmuel says, Ein abas yotzi mide damo elim ken molchol yafa yafa. Meat is not cleared of its blood unless one salts it very thoroughly, umedichu yafa yafa, and then rinses it very thoroughly. So the kashrus geek who was meticulously salting meat and rinsing it well, while explaining the difference between gedi and gedi ha'izim, to include all kosher animals in the prohibition of basa b'chalav, which reminds us, we learned how basa b'chalav applies to all kosher animals and not only to a gedi. So the kashrus geek who was meticulously salting meat and rinsing it well, while explaining the difference between gedi and gedi ha'izim, to include all kosher animals in the prohibition of basa b'chalav, was startled when his friend received malchus for experimenting with chalav by cooking it in chalav. Which reminds us, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi discussed mavasho chalav b'chalav, one who cooks chalav with milk. One says it incurs malchus and the other says it does not. This is explained in four ways, one of them being that all agree is not chai for eating it because the achil prohibition cannot take effect on chalav. They argue about liability for cooking because it's permitted to cook chalav alone. The lenient opinion holds that since the Torah expressed the achil prohibition using the word bishul, we say that since one is not liable for cooking chalav with milk, he's also not liable for eating it. So once again, the kashrus geek who was meticulously salting meat and rinsing it well, while explaining the difference between gedi and gedi ha'izim to include all kosher animals in the prohibition of basa b'chalav, was startled when his friend received malchus for experimenting with chalav by cooking it in chalav. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Kuftes. So the siman Daf Kuftes is a Hatzalah kit. So here goes. When the Hatzalah member received the kit, Hatzalah member kit, that must run Daf Kuftes. When the Hatzalah member received the kit that included a burner to roast kachal without removing the milk in case of emergency, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a kachal regarding the udder, kor umotzias chalava, one tears it open and removes its milk before preparing it. If it was prepared without being torn, one doesn't violate the Torah prohibition of cooking or eating basa b'chalav because a shechted animal's milk is not biblically considered milk. So when that Tzal member received the kit that included a burner to roast kachal without removing the milk in case of emergency, and a sharp knife and instructions how to cut it open and remove the milk when there was ample time, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how one tears open the kachal. So when the Hatzalah member received the kit that included a burner to roast kachal without removing the milk in case of emergency, and a sharp knife and instructions how to cut it open and remove the milk when there was ample time, his wife said she'd always wanted to taste basa b'chalav, and he should roast some kachal for her. Which reminds us, Yalta said to her husband Rav Nachman, now whatever Hashem forbade us, he permitted us something like it. For example, he forbade consuming blood, but permitted liver which is made of blood and tastes like blood. Yalta concluded, I want to eat something which tastes like meat cooked with milk. Rav Nachman told the chefs to roast kachal on a spit without tearing it open. Although our mission requires tearing them l'chachila, Rav Nachman holds the mission refers to cooking chachal, but roasting is permitted without tearing. Daf Kuf Yud. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. When the new rabbi came to town and was presented with a gold key, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud, gold key ceremony. When the rabbi came to town and was presented with a gold key to the city, he decreed that they may not eat kachal because he found them to be ignorant in the laws of meat and milk, which reminds us regarding Rav, bika matzav agadir bagadir. Rav found an open field and built a fence around it, meaning he discovered a city whose residents were completely unaware of the laws of bas b'chav, so he prohibited even permitted cases of bas b'chav as a protective measure. For Rav once visited a tatuafush and overheard a woman asking her friend how much milk is needed to cook a litre of meat. Realizing they had never learned that bas b'chav was prohibited, Rav remained there and prohibited even kachal for them. So when the new rabbi came to town and was presented with the gold key to the city, he decreed that they may not eat kachal because he found them to be ignorant in the laws of meat and milk, and told them to keep this practice even when going to another city, which reminds us we learned that one who goes to another place must follow the chumras of both places, the place where he came from and the place where he has arrived. So when the new rabbi came to town and was presented with the gold key to the city, he decreed they may not eat kachal because he found them to be ignorant in the laws of meat and milk, and told them to keep this practice even when going to another city. While the new Beis Din that he established released the man about to be whipped for not honoring his parents, which reminds us, Beis Din does not force people to keep any mitzvahs aseh, since the schar is written nearby. Since the Torah states that one who honors his parents merits long life, this implies that the punishment for failing to do so is the loss of long life, but no other punishment. Daf Kuf Yudolf is a kayak. So here goes. The exhausted kayaker, that must be on Daf Kuf Yudolf. The exhausted kayaker transporting livers soaking in vinegar, so they shouldn't emit blood when being cooked, which reminds us the Gemara discusses cooking a liver. The Gemara relates that Rav Huna sealed the blood inside the liver by placing it in vinegar, and Rav Nachman sealed it by scalding it in boiling water to prevent blood from being emitted when it was later cooked with other food. So the exhausted kayaker transporting liver soaking in vinegar, so they shouldn't emit blood when being cooked, was dismayed when he finally stopped to eat and found that instead of cooking a liver on top of meat, which is permitted, they cook kachal on top of meat, which makes the meat forbidden, which reminds us, the Gemara states, if a liver was roasted on a spit above meat, the meat remains permitted because the blood slides off and isn't absorbed by the meat. If one roasted kachal, an udder above meat, the meat is prohibited because the milk clings to the meat and is absorbed by it. So the exhausted kayaker transporting liver soaking in vinegar so they shouldn't emit blood when being cooked was dismayed when they finally stopped the rest and found that instead of cooking liver on top of meat, which is permitted, they cook kachal on top of meat, which makes the meat forbidden, and settled instead on the hot fish served on the meat plate that they enjoyed with a dairy dip, which is fine because of not bar not, which reminds us the Gemara discusses fish which replace hot on a meat plate. Rav prohibits eating the fish together with kutach, a dairy dip, because the fish absorb meat flavor from the plate. Shmuel permits eating it with kutach because of not bar not, nos and tum bar nos and tum. It's only an imparted taste of an imparted taste. The fish only absorbed flavor from the plate, which itself had only absorbed flavor from meat. Meat flavor so far removed from its original source is not the equivalent of meat. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The eccentric Rubik's Cube player Rubik's Cube, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The eccentric Rubik's Cube player who was playing a dangerous game of cut the radish with a blade from the fleshic Rubik's Cube, making the radishes forbidden to serve with milk, which reminds us, Abai said that the halacha is that fish, which was placed hot onto a meat plate, may be eaten with kutach because it's not bar not. However, if one cut its known, a radish with a knife with which meat was cut, it's prohibited to eat with kutach because, due to its sharpness, it absorbs the meat residue on the knife's surface. Rashi adds that even if no residue remains, the radish's sharpness coupled with the knife's pressure causes it to absorb a strong meat flavor from the knife. So the eccentric Rubik's Cube player who is playing a dangerous game of cut the radish with a blade from the fleshic Rubik's Cube, making the radishes forbidden to serve with milk, was startled when a raw bird fell into a salty barrel of kutach, but didn't become aser, which reminds us, a shechted pigeon once fell into a jug of kutach, and Rav Chinan Abredu Rava Apashronia permitted it. He holds that Shmuel's rule that maliach haru kareseach, something salted is like something hot and transfers flavor, only applies where it's so salty that it's not eaten due to its saltiness until it's rinsed with water. Therefore, since kutach is eaten and is not that salty, it doesn't transfer flavor to the pigeon. So the eccentric Rubik's Cube player was playing a dangerous game of cut the radish with a blade from the Flacic Rubik's Cube, making the radishes forbidden to serve with milk, was startled when a raw bird fell into a salty barrel of kutuk but didn't become usser, and transferred it to his Rubik's Cube-colored perforated salting bowl together with some fish, which made the fish usser, which reminds us what Nachman said, Dagim va'ofas shemalachin ze'im ze'a asurin. Fish and fowl which were salted together are forbidden, meaning the fish are forbidden because they absorb blood from the fowl. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Nachman's ruling is b'kli manukav, with a perforated vessel. The fish are nevertheless forbidden because their skin is soft, so they hasten to emit their blood, whereas bird meat is tight and releases its blood more slowly. Therefore, after the fish cease emitting blood, the birds continue to release blood, which the fish absorb, prohibiting them. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you discuss the requirements of an Atilas Yadayim, such as Koach Gavran, using a kli of a Ravias? That's on daf Kuf Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that Bas B'Chav applies to all kosher animals, and not only to a Gedi? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that sharp foods cut with a meat knife can't be used with dairy? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn about the laws of Malicha, salting meat, to remove the blood? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss the difference between roasting a liver or an udder above meat? That's on daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn about the reason for Netilas Yadayim for Chulin? That's on daf Kuf Vav. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that the rule of Molich Karoseach only applies if the food is so salty the food can't be eaten until it's rinsed with water? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if fish and fowl were salted together? That's on daf Kuf Yud Beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that Beis Din does not force people to keep any mitzvahs aseh whose char is written nearby, such as Kibud Avaim? That's on daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we have in Malchokas if one gets Malkas for cooking chalav with milk? That's on daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.